X-Ray in the Morning, supported by our presenting sponsors, Hosley Eco Automotive and Mount Tabor Chiropractic Center. Find out more at hosleyecoautomotive.com and mounttaborchiropractic.com. Welcome, please welcome back Kira Klingenberg and Kira Lindenberg from Science Project, a nonprofit group dedicated to teaching kids and adults about science in new and interesting ways. Their website is scienceprojectpdx.org. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hello, and Thank you. Good morning.
Hello. So today, we're not going to necessarily play a game. We're just going to have a discussion about some interesting things that you say there are headlines that are that sort of mess up actual science.
Yeah. So we thought we would roll with your theme of Citizens Divided this week. And we wanted to talk about issues that divide us as a nation or as a society.
Great.
And that has a lot to do with what we do at Science Project, because one of our core values is really about getting future generations excited enough about learning science that we promote science literacy, which is a huge resource in kind of getting you equipped to thinking about and being able to make informed decisions on these kind of topics.
So I think the most obvious one, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but I think maybe people can most identify with that idea that they're Citizens Divided and science is the idea of global warming. You know, it's a hoax. Oh. No, I don't think so.
So
that's the most obvious one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you know,
what a can of worms.
We debated on talking about global warming, but it's such a can of worms. And of course, we have our personal opinions on it, but we don't want to talk about our personal opinions. We want to talk about hard, actual science facts that can't be disputed because they're science.
I will say this, though. Global warming is definitely hard science.
It's hard science.
Yeah, really
I was going to say, I got to disagree with you because it is hard science.
I know you didn't mean it that way.
It is scientifically proven, and that's a hoax, that it's not proven. But we're going to talk, so we know, we intelligent people know that global warming is real, so we're not even going to talk about that. First headline, meat eaters may have a higher risk of death, but plants are the answer.
Ah, yes.
Explain to me, what is the problem here?
Isn't that one great? I mean, plants are the answer, guys.
Right.
That's it. There you go. Plants are the answer.
Yeah.
Well, so first off, just really quickly, the study that was done that prompted this headline was actually a pretty good study. They had a ton of participants. I think it was 130,000 people participated. And it was a really controlled study. These are the kind of things that we want in a scientific study. You want the ability to look at a large group of people. You want scientists who are going to have carefully controlled environments. Like, this was a very good scientific study. What they ended up concluding was that if you generally substitute plant proteins for your, like, say, processed red meats, then that's associated with having a lower risk of death. That's really all the study came to. But there's so many problems with this headline and the way it represents the study.
Yeah, which is what we wanted to talk about, because if you just read meat eaters have higher risk of death, plants are answer, then what you might think is, ah, okay, I need to cut out all meat. All meat is going to kill me, and all plants are going to keep me alive forever, and I'm immortal.
Yeah.
But that's a really misleading headline, because what the study actually found was that you do have a higher risk of mortality based on if you have more of your protein intake is meat versus plants, but that had to also be correlated with you're doing some other really unhealthy lifestyle, like you drink or you smoke or you don't exercise. So, but you would never get that from the headline.
You would just assume, oh God, if I eat meat, gonna die.
I'm gonna die. So the idea is that just like anything else, it's in moderation. What about the idea, and this is not in the questions, but I want to ask you anyway, what about this idea that a contributor to global warming is our consumption of meat because of the methane and the waste that's produced by all these cows?
That is a real thing. That is a real thing.
And that's one reason to lessen your meat intake as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that's, again, I want to emphasize that, you know, we didn't bring up any of these topics to try to sway you one way or the other. I mean, the whole point is that we have this very divided society right now, it feels like, and we're constantly trying to sway the other side. Like, I don't eat meat, you shouldn't eat meat. And what it really comes down to is that there is a ton of data on both sides of the argument. And that's, I feel like, what we need to all recognize and acknowledge for each other.
And as good scientists, you really, you know, when you get a conclusion, you don't hold that conclusion as a, you know, okay, cool. Well, I did this study, I got this thing, and I have now proven that ants are actually bigger than oranges.
Right.
You're like, I proved it. One study, done. You know, like, science is all about, like, do a study and have that study then have you ask another question.
Right.
And
no such thing as facts.
Right. So, you know, like, this study is going to contribute to how we look at meat eaters. Climate change studies are going to look at how we evaluate it and how we go forward, but they're not the end-all be-all. You know, they're just information to help us better understand and kind of come to conclusions as a society.
Right. So what about, okay, so another thing having to do with how we eat, what about GMOs? So, here's your headline. Several animal studies indicate health risks associated with genetically modified food.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what is the... Okay, so first describe, what is a GMO?
Ah, that is a very good question. And I think this gets fuzzy for a lot of people because I've heard the argument, oh, well, you know, genetic modification happens naturally all the time. And that is true. I mean, that's how evolution happens, is that DNA is constantly changing. And the very short story is if the DNA changes enough to change your gene and then it ends up being advantageous for your children, then maybe that gene will stick around. That's the very short story.
Right. most abbreviated definition.
But, you know, that's different from what a genetically engineered and genetically modified organism is really genetically engineered. A human is taking a gene, splicing a gene from one species, and I think the really popular example is we have taken the gene from a jellyfish that makes it glow, and we have inserted it into the DNA of a pig. So you have a glowing pig.
Right.
And maybe over billions of years that would have happened naturally, but probably not, because pigs don't have any reason to glow right now. So that's a genetically engineered.
Right.
We have pigs in
space. So far, yeah.
But that's a genetically engineered organism, is we physically took a gene and put it into another species. But anyway, yeah, so what we wanted to talk about with this headline was that, you know, there are actually studies out there that talk about animals that have had negative health effects. A lot of them are about this, I've heard of Roundup Ready crops.
Yeah.
So what those are is they're genetically modified so that they are resistant to topical pesticides, and they also create their own pesticides. And they've been linked to tumors in rats. They've been linked to, like, atrophied livers. These studies actually exist.
But here's the problem with the headline, and also with any headline that's going to, like, polarize you on, yeah, GMOs are really bad for you, they're not, is that there's also a ton of studies that show that there's no detrimental health effects from GMOs at all. And, you know, they're doing studies all the time on you know, animals and humans and whatnot. And also, I think my biggest pet peeve with this headline is that it lumps all GMOs into one giant bucket. It says, hey, it's a GMO. It's bad for you. And there are countless ways, kind of like Kira was saying, that you can genetically modify something. Sometimes it's taking genes that would never occur in nature together, splicing them. Occasionally it's doing something as simple as being like, you know what? I want the plant to have more flowers. So I'm going to kind of mess around with it a little bit. Cool. Oh, more flowers.
Right.
Hooray.
And again, we are not taking a stance on one side or the
right.
other. But the point is that, like, first of all, we need so much more research on this topic before anybody can come to, like, a definitive conclusion. So in effect,
you know, and I think a lot of progressives, I'll take the play devil's advocate here. A lot of progressives, you know, insist on no GMOs
right.
and we want it labeled and
right.
GMOs are bad. So in effect, what you're telling me is that the science is still out on certain types of genetically engineered things.
Yes, yes.
Because, yes, some of them have proven to be bad,
yeah.
but not all of them. So
and they're
would
different.
You,
that there's a lot of difference. So, you know, you have to ask the question when someone says, oh, do you want to eat this genetically modified thing? Like, ask, how is it genetically modified?
Right.
You know, don't just accept genetically modified as it's good or it's bad. Like, really investigate. You know, and it doesn't take that much time. We have the internet now.
So, but yeah, good point. Good point. So, but basically you're saying is do your research.
Yes.
Yeah.
And don't eat it
yes.
if you don't know.
Yeah, don't take the assumptions.
And that's
you know.
Your risk to take.
Yeah.
You
okay.
know, I don't need
You can't
GMOs,
tell me. Okay,
but
I won't. Yeah. I'm not until the science is in. And after seeing the world according to Monsanto, I just can't, you know, and what it's done not only to people who eat it, But people who are caught up in the whole Roundup, you know, genetically modified soybeans and the crops and the laws.
Right. It's really complicated.
It's really complicated.
Yeah, really complicated.
And it's turned out that in some instances, these genetically modified soybeans and other seeds can have a profound effect on the environment they're planted
right.
in.
Right. Right. And even if the science comes in on something like health, then we still need to think about these other overarching
aspects,
themes,
right?
You know, but again, but not on one side or the other. We have to really look at it and be like, okay, you know, here's some more evidence. You know, maybe you're going to find something that completely changes your mind. Be open to that. And because it's, gosh, it's early. What? How long have we really been experimenting with this?
I think about 30 years.
Which, but, in the scheme of things, good grief.
Yeah, it's really only been about the last 3 or 4 years that we've had the technology to say, I want this exact gene, I want it right here.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
so we don't know. We don't know.
30 years is not a long time when you consider the millions of years gone into evolution of actual species.
Yeah. The creation of our environmental.
So this is our segment, Everything is Interesting, with Kira and Kay, the science ladies from Science Project, scienceprojectpdx.org. It's our new weekly segment, and we love it. So let's see. This looks like, this is one I love, because I've always had dogs.
Yeah.
And I've usually had big dogs, but after my last dog, Jack, bless his soul, died, I decided, since I lived in an apartment, he was a lab Great Dane mix.
Whoa,
and
what a dog.
He was, he was wonderful, wonderful. And he would sit on my lap, and he was like 100 pounds, but I loved him. And but since I live in a city in a small apartment, I thought, okay, I'm going to give it up. I've always been prejudiced against little dogs. I got a little miniature pincher. And I love it because he can actually sit on my lap, and I can hold him.
He was
And so when I saw your new study, this headline, I thought, oh, I want to talk about this. The third headline you brought is, hugging your dog is making it stressed out, a study finds. And I was like, oh my God.
No, we picked it because we thought it would be such a cute topic to end on. But now I'm realizing this might be the most polarizing topic that we
have. It might be, because I love hugging my dog. Tell me, what's wrong with hugging my dog?
You want to talk about?
Yeah, well, okay. There's a big problem with this headline. And that is that it says at the very end here, study finds. And what does that make you think? Oh, it's credible.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Like, there was a big old study done about hugging your dog. I should probably stop hugging it because the study says that it's stressing my dog out.
Yeah.
Well, when you go on to read the article, you'll find out that the study was actually only done by one guy. He is an animal behavioralist. His name was Dr. Stanley Koren. But he did the study on 250 internet images that he pulled up through various Google searches and Flickr searches.
Not even photos of, I don't think it was even controlled for, oh, here's a photo, send me your photo. I think he just went online and Googled hugging your dog.
Right. Which, okay, so there's so many problems with doing it that way. One of which is that he can't control for any external factors in those photos that might have affected the dog's like appearance.
Yeah, you don't know, kind of like reading the photographer was holding a piece of meat.
Right. Was the dog tired?
You know,
have to poop. Like, you just, he couldn't have known that when he looked at these.
It's funny because
pictures.
I remember seeing a picture of my ex hugging my dog when I was away. He sent me this picture and he's hugging my big old dog.
Uh-huh.
And the dog has got this look on its face like, oh my God, its eyes are wide open and it's kind of pulling away and its head is back. Like, get off of me. And so I'm guessing this scientist, those are the pictures he used.
And
those are the ones you post. And the silly ones.
It's a real, exactly, because if your dog was just, you know,
sitting there
it's
there's no story.
It's not a great
photo. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, but that brings up a really important point, which is that if you're going to make a scientific judgment, you know, you can't just pick and choose your data. You can't just say, well, like, oh, these are the photos that agree with what I already believe, and so that's what I'm gonna...
If you're a Republican, you can.
No comments.
Sorry, I know you're
have no opinion.
You have no opinion, science ladies.
Oh, we do.
talk to us off the air. We'll have so many opinions.
So he does this study, and then it gets reported. It got all over the news, too. There was another headline
from
the UK Telegraph that said, don't hug your dog, it hates it, says animal psychologist. Well, you know, the study was based on some actual things, which is that there are some signs of stress that dogs exhibit. And this guy who did the study, he actually had released this nice list of, like, here's some ways that your dog might actually be telling you it doesn't like something, you know, that the humans are not the best at picking up on. One of which is, like, if your dog licks your face, that's not always like, I love you. It might be like, I'm really stressed out right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's coming from a place of well thought out information, I guess.
Yeah.
But then the way that this is represented with this headline, I mean, it sounds big, dramatic. Wow. Well, okay, it's this one guy's one sort of idea that he went through. And, right. and he even says it. He even admits to it. He was like, you know, I just looked on the internet and I found that like 80% of the pictures, yeah. I said it awfully looked like these dogs were stressed out. And so, you know, again, you as the informed decision maker out there, when you read this kind of headline, like don't jump to the conclusion the headline wants you to jump to. Read the article, right. and maybe even find the study.
Right.
And so, then, you know, if you still feel like I don't want to hug my dog, that's fine. That's your opinion, but...
I'm getting from this segment today, ladies, science ladies, Kira and Kay from the Science Project, that basically what you're saying is don't get your science from your Twitter feed.
Yeah. Oh, golly,
pretty
please.
Much.
Please don't.
Moral of this story,
yeah.
not and, 140, and even, 140 characters is not enough.
And even if you read the article, still be a skeptic.
Okay.
Yeah, ask the question. That's what science is about, is asking questions. And it's the reason why things like... You know, Newton was some of his ideas just got thrown out by modern day physicists because they
asking,
figured out, wow, he was onto something, but now we figured out it's actually turned it on its head. Yeah. You know, and
wow.
like continuously ask questions, hundreds of years can go by.
I have to ask you, what was that Newton thing overturned?
You know, it had to do with like the way he defined the laws of physics in the world and the new discovery of quantum physics with quarks
right,
and how
quantum physics doesn't fit into Newtonian physics.
It doesn't.
And so
they contradict.
That does not mean that gravity is going to stop working.
Okay. It's a difference in how we're understanding
Don't
how it all
your
works.
Cement boots yet.
Okay.
It's not my
Just.
Field of expertise at all, but it was an interesting read. To
That's
like, oh,
very interesting. You know, I'm going to have to look in. I'm going to have to Google that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to read more
Quantum
about that.
Physics
yeah.
on my break.
Always keep reading more.
Yep.
Well, we're always happy to have you here, Science Ladies. Kira and Kay from the Science Project, scienceprojectpdx.org. Thank you for being here with us this week. We'll see you next week.
Yeah,
thank you
very
so much for having
okay.
us.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
This is X-Ray FM. I'm Christine Alexander. We'll be back in 1 minute to say good day to Andy Main, see what she's got coming up. And after that, we're going to play a game. And then after that, we're going to be speaking with the original Donald Trump, a new garage punk band. So stay tuned for that on X-Ray FM.
Hindenburg Systems is a provider of editing software for radio journalists, podcasters, and other audio storytellers. More information available at Hindenburg.com. Hindenburg. It's all about the story.
X-Ray FM would like listeners to know about Outside In, a nonprofit helping homeless youth and other marginalized people improve their health and become self-sufficient. For over 45 years, Outside In has been creating transformational change for the most vulnerable members of our community.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. I'm Christine Alexander. Had to say good day to Andy Main. She had to run to her regular job working for the man. And so we'll see her again in a couple of weeks. Now joining us on the line, Talk Media News, made possible by our sponsor, Beth Ernest & Associates Real Estate. Beth Ernest's team of real estate brokers have been serving the Portland area for over 22 years, specializing in residential real estate, lots, and land. More at BethErnest.com. Good morning. Who am I speaking with this morning?
Good morning. It's Justin Duckham calling in. How are you doing?
Hi, Justin. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
So tell me what's going on in the world.
Well, today we have President Obama visiting Louisiana. This is something that the White House has been on the defensive about, considering there were some calls for him to go down a little bit sooner. Yesterday, during a pretty heated exchange in the briefing room, Josh Earnest, the press secretary, tried to reinforce the notion that this was based on a request from the governor for the president not to visit until it was an appropriate time, citing the logistical concerns of having a presidential motorcade moving through a disaster site and whatnot. So today Obama is going to be touring the devastation in Louisiana and is also scheduled to deliver a statement to the press a little while after that wraps up. So either way, this is something that a lot of people have been waiting for quite some time, and something that is finally taking place.
So a lot of people, obviously, the other side of this coin is the fact that the like you said, the governor said, we don't want you here yet, but the right wing is using this as something, you know, to jump on. But in fact, you know, anybody who lives in a big city that the president has come to visit, especially they talk about this in New York, it completely throws off everything. And if they're trying to logistically create rescue situations and stuff like that, that you don't want the presidential motorcade going through your city.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as somebody who lives in D.C., you know, I'm more than well aware of that. I have spent, you know, more hours than I would like to, you know, reckon with sitting in the back of a cab waiting for a motorcade to finally move by. So, yeah, this is usually a big logistical concern whenever we see, you know, the president landing anywhere. And this, of course, is something that Donald Trump, you know, pushed back against after the governor said that he did not want Trump to touch ground. You know, he said that he would prefer to see, you know, Donald Trump make a donation or volunteer somehow, as opposed to coming in for what he described as a photo op, and something that, you know, frankly, kind of had pretty much that appearance once he actually did get on the ground. He spent, you know, a few minutes passing out supplies and whatnot. He made a donation, but overall, it was pretty unavoidable the fact that that was, you know, largely a political visit and one that was aimed more at trying to draw a contrast between, you know, Trump and Obama for not appearing.
Yeah, it was a photo op, and he was probably just handing out Make America Great Again hats, you know, to help them cover themselves from the sun in their difficult time. So what else is going on in the news? And you specialize in the U.N., do you not?
No, that's Luke Vargas.
Luke Vargas, I'm sorry.
I'm more of the D.C. guy. I'm the senior Washington correspondent.
Oh.
So in terms of, you know, my beat and the political stuff, we have some, you know, interesting things coming out about Hillary Clinton's emails. Yesterday, Judicial Watch, which is a conservative watchdog organization, released about 725 new ones that they say show that Hillary Clinton traded, you know, access in exchange for donors, you know, making donations and whatnot. That's something that doesn't necessarily, you know, come up in these emails. It looks like, you know, there was no actual favors that were granted throughout any of these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
But the big one that I would, you know, be amiss for not mentioning is that Bono is actually named in one of the emails that was released, which has been getting a lot of, you know, eyebrow raising over here. Apparently, he approached the Clinton Foundation through an executive asking how he could go about having the International Space Station link up with U2 during a number of their concerts. You know, the Clinton Foundation and the State Department both replied with no clue in response to this request, but it was something that was ultimately carried out. You know, during their tour in 2009, they had link ups with Mark Kelly in the International Space Station, who made a number of, you know, pretty solid David Bowie references and whatnot to the attendees at the concerts. But either way, this is sort of the latest chapter in, you know, the slow drip that is the email issue.
Yeah. X-Ray in the Morning, supported by our presenting sponsors, Hosley Eco Automotive and Mount Tabor Chiropractic Center. Find out more at hosleyecoautomotive.com and mounttaborchiropractic.com. Welcome, please welcome back Kira Klingenberg and Kira Lindenberg from Science Project, a nonprofit group dedicated to teaching kids and adults about science in new and interesting ways. Their website is scienceprojectpdx.org. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hello, and good morning.
Hello. So today we're not going to necessarily play a game. We're just going to have a discussion about some interesting things that you say there are headlines that sort of mess up actual science.
Yeah. So we thought we would roll with your theme of Citizens Divided this week. And we wanted to talk about issues that divide us as a nation or as a society.
Great.
And that has a lot to do with what we do at Science Project, because one of our core values is really about getting future generations excited enough about learning science that we promote science literacy, which is a huge resource in kind of getting you equipped to thinking about and being able to make informed decisions on these kind of topics.
So I think the most obvious one, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but I think maybe people can most identify with that idea that citizens divided, and science is the idea of global warming. You know, it's a hoax. Oh, no, I don't think so.
So
that's the most obvious one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you know,
what a can of worms.
We debated on talking about global warming, but it's such a can of worms. And of course, we have our personal opinions on it, but we don't want to talk about our personal opinions. We want to talk about hard, actual science facts that can't be disputed because they're science.
I will say this, though. Global warming is definitely hard science.
It's hard science. Yeah,
really,
I was going to say, I got to disagree with you because it is hard science.
I know you didn't mean it that way.
It is scientifically proven, and that's a hoax, that it's not proven. But we're going to talk, so we know, we intelligent people know that global warming is real, so we're not even going to talk about that. First headline, meat eaters may have a higher risk of death, but plants are the answer.
Ah, yes.
Explain to me, what is the problem here?
Isn't that one great? I mean, plants are the answer, guys.
Right.
That's it. There you go. Plants are the answer.
Yeah.
Well, so first off, just really quickly, the study that was done that prompted this headline was actually a pretty good study. They had a ton of participants. I think it was 130,000 people participated. And it was a really controlled study. These are the kind of things that we want in a scientific study. You want the ability to look at a large group of people. You want scientists who are going to have carefully controlled environments. Like, this was a very good scientific study. What they ended up concluding was that if you generally substitute plant proteins for your, like, say, processed red meats, then that's associated with having a lower risk of death. That's really all the study came to. But there's so many problems with this headline and the way it represents the study.
Yeah, which is what we wanted to talk about, because if you just read meat eaters have higher risk of death, plants are answer, then what you might think is, okay, I need to cut out all meat. All meat is going to kill me, and all plants are going to keep me alive forever, and I'm immortal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a really misleading headline, because what the study actually found was that you do have a higher risk of mortality based on if you have more of your protein intake is meat versus plants, but that had to also be correlated with you're doing some other really unhealthy lifestyle, like you drink or you smoke or you don't exercise. So, but you would never get that from the headline.
Mm-hmm. You would just assume, oh God, if I eat meat, gonna die.
I'm gonna die. So the idea is that just like anything else, it's in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
What about the idea, and this is not in the questions, but I want to ask you anyway, what about this idea that a contributor to global warming is our consumption of meat because of the methane and the waste that's produced by all these cows?
That is a real thing. That is a real thing.
And that's one reason to lessen your meat intake as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that's, again, I want to emphasize that, you know, we didn't bring up any of these topics to try to sway you one way or the other. I mean, the whole point is that we have this very divided society right now, it feels like, and we're constantly trying to sway the other side. Like, I don't eat meat, you shouldn't eat meat. And what it really comes down to is that there is a ton of data on both sides of the argument. And that's, I feel like, what we need to all recognize and acknowledge for each other.
And as good scientists, you really, you know, when you get a conclusion, you don't hold that conclusion as a, you know, okay, cool. Well, I did this study, I got this thing, and I have now proven that ants are actually bigger than oranges.
Right.
You're like, I proved it, one study, done. You
right.
know, like, science is all about, like, do a study and have that study then have you ask another question.
Right.
And
no
continue,
such thing as facts.
Right.
No such
so,
facts
you know,
ever.
Like, this study is going to contribute to how we look at meat eaters. Climate change studies are going to look at how we evaluate it and how we go forward, but they're not the end-all be-all. You know, they're just information to help us better understand and kind of come to conclusions as a society.
Right.
So what about, okay, so another thing having to do with how we eat, what about GMOs? So, here's your headline. Several animal studies indicate health risks associated with genetically modified food.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what is the, okay, so first describe, what is a GMO?
That is a very good question. And I think this gets fuzzy for a lot of people because I've heard the argument, oh, well, you know, genetic modification happens naturally all the time. And that is true. I mean, that's how evolution happens, is that DNA is constantly changing. And the very short story is if the DNA changes enough to change your gene and then it ends up being advantageous for your children, then maybe that gene will stick around. That's the very short story.
Right. Most abbreviated definition.
But you know, that's different from what a genetically engineered and genetically modified organism is really genetically engineered. A human is taking a gene, splicing a gene from one species. And I think the really popular example is we have taken the gene from a jellyfish that makes it glow, and we have inserted it into the DNA of a pig. So you have a glowing pig.
Right.
And maybe over billions of years that would have happened naturally, but probably not, because pigs don't have any reason to glow right now. So that's a genetically engineered. But that's a genetically engineered organism, is we physically took a gene and put it into another species. But anyway, yeah, so what we wanted to talk about with this headline was that, you know, there are actually studies out there that talk about animals that have had negative health effects. A lot of them are about this, I've heard of Roundup Ready crops.
So
what those are is they're genetically modified so that they are resistant to topical pesticides, and they also create their own pesticides. And they've been linked to tumors in rats. They've been linked to, like, atrophied livers. These studies actually exist.
But here's the problem with the headline, and also with any headline that's going to, like, polarize you on, yeah, GMOs are really bad for you or they're not, is that there's also a ton of studies that show that there's no detrimental health effects from GMOs at all. And, you know, they're doing studies all the time on you know, animals and humans and whatnot. And also, I think my biggest pet peeve with this headline is that it lumps all GMOs into one giant bucket. It says, hey, it's a GMO. It's bad for you. And there are countless ways, kind of like Kira was saying, that you can genetically modify something. Sometimes it's taking genes that would never occur in nature together, splicing them. Occasionally it's doing something as simple as being like, you know what? I want the plant to have more flowers. So I'm going to kind of mess around with it a little bit. Cool. Oh, more flowers.
Right.
Hooray.
And again, we are not taking a stance on one side or the
right.
other. But the point is that, like, first of all, we need so much more research on this topic before anybody can come to, like, a definitive conclusion.
So in effect, you know, and I think a lot of progressives, I'll take the play devil's advocate here. A lot of progressives, you know, insist on no GMOs and we want it labeled and GMOs are bad. So in effect, what you're telling me is that the science is still out on certain types of genetically engineered things.
Yes, yes.
Because, yes, some of them have proven to be bad, but not all of them. So
and they're
would
different.
You,
that there's a lot of difference. So, you know, you have to ask the question when someone says, oh, do you want to eat this genetically modified thing? Like, ask, how is it genetically modified?
Right.
You know, don't just accept genetically modified as it's good or it's bad. Like, really investigate. You know, and it doesn't take that much time. We have the internet now.
So, but yeah, good point. Good point. So, but basically you're saying is do your research.
Yes.
Yeah.
And don't eat it
yes.
if you don't know.
Yeah, don't take the assumptions.
And that's
you know.
Your risk to take.
Yeah.
You
okay.
know, I don't need
You can't
GMOs,
tell me. Okay,
but.
I won't. Yeah. I'm not until the science is in. And after seeing the world according to Monsanto, I just can't, you know, and what it's done not only to people who eat it, but people who are caught up in the whole Roundup, you know, genetically modified soybeans and the crops and the laws.
Right. It's really complicated.
It's really complicated.
Yeah, really complicated.
And it's turned out that in some instances, these genetically modified soybeans and other seeds can have a profound effect on the environment they're planted
right.
in.
Right. Right. And even if the science comes in on something like health, then we still need to think about these other overarching
aspects,
themes,
right?
You know, but again, but not on one side or the other. We have to really look at it and be like, okay, you know, here's some more evidence. You know, maybe you're going to find something that completely changes your mind. Be open to that. Because it's early. What? How long have we really been experimenting with this?
I think about 30 years.
Which in the scheme of things, good grief.
Yeah, it's really only been about the last 3 or 4 years that we've had the technology to say, I want this exact gene, I want it right here.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
so we don't know. We don't know.
30 years is not a long time when you consider the millions of years gone into evolution of actual species.
Yeah. The creation of our environmental.
So this is our segment, Everything is Interesting, with Kira and Kay, the science ladies from Science Project, scienceprojectpdx.org. It's our new weekly segment, and we love it. So let's see. This looks like, this is one I love, because I've always had dogs.
Yeah.
And I've usually had big dogs, but after my last dog, Jack, bless his soul, died.
Oh,
I decided, since I lived in an apartment, he was a lab Great Dane mix.
Whoa,
and
what a dog.
He was he was wonderful, wonderful. And he would sit on my lap, and he was like 100 pounds, but I loved him. And but since I live in a city in a small apartment, I thought, okay, I'm going to give it up. I've always been prejudiced against little dogs. I got a little miniature pincher. And I love it because he can actually sit on my lap and I can hold him. And so when I saw your new study, this headline, I thought, oh, I want to talk about this. The third headline you brought is hugging your dog is making it stressed out. A study finds. And I was like, oh my God.
No, we picked it because we thought it would be such a cute topic to end on. But now I'm realizing this might be the most polarizing topic that we
have. It might be because I love hugging my dog. Tell me, what's wrong with hugging my dog?
You want to talk about?
Yeah, well, okay. There's a big problem with this headline. And that is that it says at the very end here, study finds. And what does that make you think? Oh, it's credible.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Like, there was a big old study done about hugging your dog. I should probably stop hugging it because the study says that it's stressing my dog out.
Yeah.
Well, when you go on to read the article, you'll find out that the study was actually only done by one guy. He is an animal behavioralist. His name was Dr. Stanley Koren. But he did the study on 250 internet images that he pulled up through various Google searches and Flickr searches.
Not even photos of, I don't think it was even controlled for, oh, here's a photo, send me your photo. I think he just went online and Googled hugging your dog.
Right. Which, okay, so there's so many problems with doing it that way. One of which is that he can't control for any external factors in those photos that might have affected the dog's like appearance.
Yeah, you don't
he
know
was kind
if,
of
like,
reading
the
it.
Photographer was holding a piece of meat.
Right. Was the dog tired?
You know,
have to poop. Like you just he couldn't have known that when he looked at these.
It's funny because
pictures.
I remember seeing my ex hugging a picture of my ex hugging my dog when I was away. He sent me this picture and he's hugging my big old dog, and the dog has got this look on its face like, oh my God, its eyes are wide open and it's kind of pulling away and its head is back like, get off of me. And so I'm guessing this scientist, those are the pictures he used.
And
those are the ones you post. Silly ones.
It's a real, exactly, because if your dog was just, you know,
sitting there.
It's
there's no story.
It's not a great
photo. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly, but that brings up a really important point, which is that if you're going to make a scientific judgment, you know, you can't just pick and choose your data. You can't just say, well, like, oh, these are the photos that agree with what I already believe, and so that's what I'm gonna...
If you're a Republican, you can.
No comments.
Sorry, I know you're...
We have no opinion.
You have no opinion, science ladies.
Oh, we do.
talk to us off the air. We'll have so many opinions.
So he does this study, and then it gets reported. It got all over the news, too. There was another headline
from
the UK Telegraph that said, don't hug your dog, it hates it, says animal psychologist. Well, you know, the study was based on some actual things, which is that there are some signs of stress that dogs exhibit. And this guy who did the study, he actually had released this nice list of like, here's some ways that your dog might actually be telling you it doesn't like something, you know, that the humans are not the best at picking up on. One of which is like, if your dog licks your face, that's not always like, I love you. It might be like, I'm really stressed out right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's coming from a place of well thought out information, I guess.
Yeah.
But then the way that this is represented with this headline, I mean, it sounds big, dramatic. Wow. Well, okay, it's this one guy's one sort of idea that he went through. And,
right.
and he even says it. He even admits to it. He was like, you know, I just looked on the internet and I found that like 80% of the pictures, I said it awfully looked like these dogs were stressed out. And so, you know, again, you as the informed decision maker out there, when you read this kind of headline, like don't jump to the conclusion the headline wants you to jump to. Read the article.
Right.
And maybe even find the study.
Right.
And then, you know, if you still feel like I don't want to hug my dog, that's fine. That's your opinion. But
I'm getting from this segment today, ladies, science ladies, Kira and Kay from the Science Project, that basically what you're saying is don't get your science from your Twitter feed.
Yeah. Oh, golly,
pretty
please.
Much.
Please don't.
Moral of this story, not 140.
And
140 characters is not enough.
And even if you read the article, still be a skeptic.
Okay.
Yeah, ask the question. That's what science is about, is asking questions. And it's the reason why things like, you know, Newton was, some of his ideas just got thrown out by modern day physicists because they figured out, he was onto something, but now we figured out it's actually turned it on its head, you know, and
he's
like continuously ask questions. Hundreds of years can go by.
I have to ask you, what was that Newton thing overturned?
You know, it had to do with like the way he defined the laws of physics in the world and the new discovery of quantum physics with quarks and how
quantum physics doesn't fit into Newtonian physics.
It doesn't.
And so
they contradicted.
That does not mean that gravity is going to stop
working.
Okay.
It's a difference in how we're understanding
don't
how it all
works.
Don't
go buy your cement boots yet.
Okay. It's not my field of expertise at all, but it was an interesting read.
To That's like, very interesting. You know, I'm going to have to look in. I'm going to have to Google that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to read more
quantum
about that.
Physics
on my break. Always keep reading more.
Yep. Well, we're always happy to have you here, Science Ladies. Kira and Kay from the Science Project, scienceprojectpdx.org. Thank you for being here with us this week. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, thank you very
so much for having us.
Bye.
Bye.
This is X-Ray FM. I'm Christine.